Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Are you ready for the Word of God this morning?
Amen. Amen.
Now, this is the featured event. The Word of God is absolutely the pinnacle of what we get to receive every Sunday morning here at Lighthouse. My opinions don't matter very much. They're about like yours. But God's opinion is supreme.
Amen.
God's opinion will bless you. It will take you to places you've never been, and they're all good. Amen?
Amen?
In Luke chapter 10, behold, a certain lawyer. Well,
there we go.
We got to start out with a lawyer, right? Oh, my. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, that was a tongue-in-cheek master, by the way, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Then Jesus said unto him, Which of the three was neighbor to him that fell among the thieves? And the lawyer said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go thou and do likewise. When we read this amazing story of the Good Samaritan, the most basic application we see is that we should all go and do likewise. We can be like the priest, we can be like the Levite, or we can be like the Good Samaritan. To you who have been saved and reading your Bible for a while, I'm sure you've noticed that you begin to see more and more within certain passages of Scripture, more than you did the first few times, perhaps, that you read them. This is one of those passages that has a lot more than what you read on the surface. The question here from the lawyer is not a sincere question at all, is it? When he calls Jesus Master, there is sarcasm beneath his words. It was only something asked of Jesus to try and trip him up because he was testing or tempting the Lord. And you know what God said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Jesus answered this lawyer's question in his own typical style. You see, to those who wish to be justified by keeping the law or by their own righteousness, the Lord has always told those who want that, okay, go for it. Problem is, no man has kept the law, nor are there any capable of keeping the law. But if that's what you want, and you think you can do it, like this lawyer seemed to think, and you don't need a Savior, by all means, go for it. Do the best you can. It's just like Jesus told the rich young ruler further on in the book of Luke, in chapter 18 and verse 18, it says that a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Same question. Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good save one, that is God. That's a pretty good answer, isn't it? Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" I guess this young man did not love his neighbor as himself after all, did he? Nor has anyone else ever loved their neighbor as themselves. So don't get feeling too self-righteous, because you've not done it either. Neither have I. And this is just one of God's many laws that we all have broken. You see, gaining eternal life is not now, nor has it ever been, the purpose of God's law. That's not what the law is for. Romans 3:19 tells us what the law is for. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh, no one, be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law is an instrument of condemnation, not an instrument of salvation. Jesus' story about the Good Samaritan, whether actual or whether it be a parable, is really also an allegory. You learned what that was back in English class in school, but you probably forgot, some of you. An allegory is a representation of an abstract or spiritual meaning through concrete or material forms. Figurative treatment of one subject under the guise of another. This is a story about you and about me and about, most importantly, Jesus himself. I want you to allow me this morning to show you who these characters of the story really are in its form as an allegory. Our first character, the main character here, is the certain man. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. This certain man is you, and it's me, and it's every other sinner. Oh, I know that you wanted to be the Good Samaritan, but I'm very sorry. That role is reserved for someone much more special than you and me. A certain man was making a journey from Jerusalem to Jericho. You realize that every adult in this place has made the journey from spiritual Jerusalem, a place of peace and righteousness, all the way down to spiritual Jericho? I want you to think about that for a moment. You see, even though thanks to Adam, we all were born in sin. You understand that, right?
Amen.
But Romans 5:13 tells us that sin is not imputed where there is no law. Until you know right from wrong, until you have chosen the way down to spiritual Jericho, we have that original childhood innocence of living in spiritual Jerusalem. But that journey down to spiritual Jericho, a world full of sin and depravity, is a journey that every adult has made, and all of our children are in the process of making that journey. See, Jerusalem was a city that signified peace. It was beautiful. It was well situated where the presence of God and the worship of God was there. Jericho was a city accursed by Joshua. It was a very wicked place. In the day of Christ, it was a very wicked place. Lots of highwaymen along the road. The journey there was filled with perils, as is the journey from our childhood to becoming full-grown sinners, as we are. There, on the way to spiritual Jericho, we all fell among thieves and robbers. You see, sin stripped us of our original childhood righteousness. Sin took it all away. Sin wounded us. And as verse 30 declares, left us half dead. Half dead is exactly the spiritual condition of one who has fallen to sin. It's exactly what the Bible says it is. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. Our spiritual half, if you will, became dead in sins when we succumbed to knowing right from wrong and choosing the sin. Ephesians 2, verse 1 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in sins." Verse 5 says, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." Now, you may have been up walking around thinking everything is great, but your spirit was broken and wounded and dead in trespasses and sins.
Amen.
You see, sin left us in that condition on our way from spiritual Jerusalem down to spiritual Jericho. Paul said in Romans 7:9, he said, "For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died." He's not talking about his physical body. He's talking about the spirit. Next, this certain man, and I believe you can write your name in there, if you will. This certain man looked for help from the priest and the Levite. He's laying there wounded and broken, half dead, and he sees the priest come by. The priest represents religion. You yourself may have sought help from religion as well. Church and baptism and singing and praying and preaching and giving and dressing up on Sunday and mass and catechism and being a good person and being oh so religious. And many of you have tried that road. Yet with all that religion, you were still left wounded and dead in your sins. All those works, all that religion. And they left you just like you were. Then a Levite came by. Who does the Levite represent? He represents the law. You may have tried keeping the law to fix your problem. Maybe you turned over a leaf and you just said, I'm going to be so good that God will just have to accept me because I'm just going to be that good. I'm going to keep the commandments. I'm going to do everything the Ten Commandments say and maybe a few other things it doesn't say. And what did you find? You found that for one thing, you couldn't keep the law. You're still breaking it. Nobody can keep the law. For another, you have already broken it, haven't you? And for another, you found that you can't unbreak it, can you? You can't go back and fix it. You can't go back and take it away. You can't go back and do it again. Maybe that's why there's so much interest in time travel, hoping we can go back and get to do it over. I got news for you. If you did, you'd mess it up worse a second time, probably. I know I would. Trying to keep God's law the very best you could still left you broken and wounded and dead in your sins. Romans 8:3 said, "For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh." Our next character is the favorite one, of course. Our next character is the Good Samaritan. Who is this certain Samaritan, as it says? You see, in Jesus' day, a Samaritan was looked upon as a half-breed, and he was by the world summarily despised and rejected. He was the dregs at the bottom of the bowl as far as society was concerned, and certainly as far as the Jewish leaders were concerned. This is exactly who the ruling class of the Jews, as one of them was tempting Jesus with this very question, as a matter, this is exactly who they thought Jesus to be. This is who they considered Jesus to be. I want you to look at their opinion as we read in John chapter 8. We're going to read several verses, starting with verse 33. Jesus had saved some new believers. They answered Him. He said, "We be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. but now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we be not born of fornication. And see, that's exactly what they thought of Jesus. We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not.
Amen.
Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? This is exactly who these lawyers thought Jesus to be. They thought Jesus to be a half-breed, born of fornication, one they truly despised and rejected, just like the Samaritan. It is no accident, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus made a Samaritan the hero of the story. There's no accident in that. They were right about one thing, though. Jesus is, by definition, a half-breed. He is both God and man. He is both God and man. I want you to look at some of the similarities of this certain Samaritan that we're reading about. He came and found the wounded man. What did Jesus say he came? What did Jesus do in your life? For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. The wounded man didn't have to go looking for Jesus. Jesus came looking for him, just like he came looking for you. There's somebody here today, probably, that he's looking for right now. He bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Now, we know what wine represents, don't we? We observe the Lord's Supper. What did Jesus say? This cup is the New Testament in my blood.
Amen.
What can wash away my sin?
Nothing
but the blood of Jesus. Wine for cleansing and oil for comfort. Jesus cleansed us and he gave us the Comforter, didn't he?
Yeah.
John 14:16, and I will pray the Father and he shall give you another Comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He poured in wine and oil, bound him up. And he brought him to an inn, a place where he could be cared for. Where does Jesus bring the wounded that he saves for healing and care today? Where does he take them? Welcome to Lighthouse Baptist Inn. That's exactly where he takes them. There are places of rest and comfort and safety out there in the wilderness, or we'll call it the worldliness, I guess, if you prefer. The Lord placed Lighthouse here to be one of those havens of rest. Sin wounded you, it broke you, and it took your spiritual life. Jesus cleansed you of your sin, and he has brought you to a place where you are loved, and where you're cared for, and where you can heal. And he did it all by himself.
Amen.
And furthermore, he is paying the bill. Who does the tithe belong to? When we receive the tithes of God's people that belong to God, and we use them for the care of God's people,
Who's paying the bill? Yes, Jesus is paying the bill. That's amazing, isn't it? Not only did He save us all by Himself, cleanse us all by Himself, comfort us all by Himself, set us in a place of love and care and comfort. He led us here all by Himself. Sometimes He uses us to be the arm that reaches. But He does it all. It's His power. And then pays the bill as well. Now some of you have trusted Christ and you may be worrying, well, what if I sin again? It's not a matter of if, is it? Your spirit is cleansed, but your flesh has not changed one bit. Jesus said, don't worry, I paid for that too. I'll take care of all of it when I come again. In Mark chapter 12, verse 30, the Bible says that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? This neighbor, in this story, died to pay for your sins. This neighbor was buried and rose again in victory over sin and death and hell and the grave because He is God in flesh. This neighbor promised that He's coming again. And He's going to set it all right when He gets here. Priest and Levite, they're just going to leave you bleeding in the ditch. That's all religion's going to do for you. That's all trying to keep the law is going to do for you. Ladies and gentlemen, you need the Good Samaritan.